I'm just thankful that God loves me enough to pour into me and so that I can pour out today. And I really believe God's got a word on my heart for us. I think it's going to be a series. I know it is. I've already got another one written, and I'm ready to write more. And just as long as God lays this on my heart, we're going to be talking about God's will for our life. You know, my heart and my prayer for our church is spiritual maturity, that we would be mature Christians so that we're bearing fruit. Amen? And so the one way we can know God's will is, and we can bear fruit is by knowing God's will. And so I believe that God has really laid this message on my heart for such a time as this. And I believe that you're here today for such a time as this. And so I know that over, you know, the last few years being the pastor, that I get asked this question in some form or another, and it's like, what is God's will for my life? And has anybody ever asked that question? You know, what is God's will for my life? You know, for me, sometimes I get it in many different forms. It's not just, hey, what is God's will for my life? But, you know, a lot of times people will come to me and they'll say, hey, pastor, you know, I'm praying if I should take this job in some other city and it's going to pay me a whole lot more money. You know, I'm wondering if that's what God's will for my life is. Or sometimes, you know, they say, you know, I just want to know what God wants. You know, and I'm thinking, okay, all right. And then sometimes it's even a little more comical. It's, you know, some people come to me and they say, hey, God, you know, pastor, I'm wondering if God wants me to marry this person that I'm with. You know, like he's pretty good, but he's not great. And does God have somebody better for me than that? You know, so it gets a little comical sometimes. And then sometimes, you know, for the younger people, you know, they'll come and they'll say something like, pastor, I'm praying whether I should go to a community college where it's a little bit cheaper and I can stay at home, or should I just, you know, bite the bullet and move to another place and pay more money and possibly get a better education. But, you know, it's just complicated sometimes, isn't it? Life can be confusing for us at moments. But how many of you ever just wish that when you're praying about a decision that God would just make it clear to you, you know? Yeah, just make it clear, God, like write it in the sky or send me some heavenly text message, if you will, you know, whatever it is, God, but just make it obvious so that I don't have to wonder. And there's been times where I've just said, God, Jesus, just speak to me. Just speak to me. And so that was the title of this series that I've landed on. And so how many of you ever just wanted Jesus to speak to you? I know I know for me, especially in the early years when I was a brand new Christian, I was so terrified that I was going to make the wrong decision and then I was just going to miss God's will for my life somehow. And I thought if I made some wrong decision or something that God was going to put me in some spiritual timeout or something along that lines. So if you're like me and you find yourself saying sometime, God, what is your will for me? What's my next step, God? You know, what do you want for me? Well, if that's you, my goal over the next few weeks is to really try to help you get a new perspective on that, okay? And in a way that you can think about God's will differently. And so I want to show you, though, this from God's word. You see, God's not setting up in heaven somewhere, playing some spiritual hide and seek with you about your future. And I want you to also understand it's not like some dot on the map that you've just got to find that one dot. You know, it's not this specific dot on a map. And if you miss that dot, you're just going to completely blow your relationship with Christ. I want you to know that His will is way bigger than that. And it's way more personal than that, because at its core, you know, see, God's will is relational, because God is a relational God, right? And He loves you and He loves me. And I want to show you that over the next few weeks, that knowing God's will starts with knowing God's heart. Okay? So knowing God's will starts with knowing God's heart. And so the more you get to know His heart and the more you get to know Him through His word and you experience Him more and you become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, well, then it becomes easier for you and I to discern God's will for our lives. And so right now, I just want us to go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to be in our service today and that he would speak to our hearts. And so, Father God, I come to you right now, Lord, and I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father, Lord, for every person that's in this room. And Father, I ask that today, first of all, that every one of us would know you as their Savior. And second of all, God, I pray that you would know, that we would know your will for our lives. Father, we know that you are a loving God and you direct our steps. And so, Father, over the next few moments, I pray, God, that you would just lead us into your word. Let it speak into our hearts and our lives so that when we leave this place, we're more like you and we're walking in your will. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, you know, it may surprise you that when you look at the Bible, that it reveals at least, now I don't know how many there are because these are just the four that I got this week as I was praying and studying, that there's at least four different layers of God's will, okay? And, you know, his heart for you, his purpose for you, his will for you, and his plan for you. Those are things that we want to look at. But I want us to also look at the four different aspects of God's will today, okay? And so first, there's what we are going to call God's sovereign will. God's sovereign will. This is his master plan for us. It's going to happen, and there's nothing that you or I can do to change it, okay? This is his sovereign will. The second thing that we're going to look at is God's moral will, and this is his will for you and I, how we behave, all right? Our behavior, and it's revealed in God's word, and it doesn't change, all right? It's not changeable either. And third, I want us to look at God's permissive will. God's permissive will, this is something that God might not directly cause, but God will allow it, okay? And then fourth, there's what everybody wants to hear about, and that's God's personal will. We all want to know God's personal will, what God's specific plan and purpose for us is. And I want you to know that as you get to know God's heart, you can get to know his specific and personal will for your life. And so if you understand these four different aspects, God's will, it's going to take the pressure off of us a little bit today. And that's my prayer, is that we're not going to be looking for that one dot on the map. And boy, if we don't find it, we're just going to be lost, okay? So now when we see today, I pray that after this message, you'll know that now by you're seeking God first and his righteousness, that then God will add everything else to our lives. Amen? And so I want to talk about these four aspects specifically, and I want us to start today with God's sovereign will. All right? God's sovereign will. What is that? My definition is God's unstoppable, unchangeable plan that directs all things towards his purpose. All right? And we can see this in God's word. And I want to show you a couple of verses just so that this is a teaching today. I'm teaching more than anything, okay? And I've got lots of slides, 21 of them, I believe. So bear with me. But Isaiah 46:10 says this. It says, "Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass." Now, this is God speaking there. And so this is God's sovereign master plan in his will, of the will of God. Also, Proverbs 19:21, we read it, it says this, it says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart." Now, that's you and I's plans. Those are our plans. And then we end up changing them, right? Because we're moody people and we change our mind all the time. But God never changes, all right? So it says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails." You see, it's his sovereign will that's going to prevail today. And what's amazing to me is that you can see God's sovereign will at work as you read through Scripture, all through the Bible, from the very beginning. You can see that God was at work whenever he spoke into creation and he created the heavens and the earth. And then you see his sovereign will whenever he formed Adam out of the dust and he breathed breath right into mankind. And then we can see where creation rebelled and we sinned against God. And then it was God's sovereign will that the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. This was God's sovereign will. And Jesus would live a life without sin, and that he would give his life as a perfect sacrifice on a cross for you and I. And then we know that it was God's sovereign will that 3 days later that God would raise him from the dead so that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord would be saved and made new. Hallelujah. That's worth rejoicing right there. And it's God's sovereign will, by that sovereign will of his, that the word says that one day that the trumpet is going to sound and that we're all going to be caught up. And it says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's God's sovereign will, and it cannot be changed. And it doesn't matter what you do or what I do. It doesn't matter what how bad we are or how good we are. You can't stop the sovereign will of God. You see, it can't be stopped by our bad decisions or by a painful situation that we're going through at the very moment. It doesn't stop God's sovereign will. You know, it doesn't stop because we're in a moment of weakness. We make a bad decision and we do something that we wished we wouldn't have done. And that's why God's sovereign plan always prevails. Even though we have an enemy, and we know that his name is Satan, right? Or Lucifer, or the father of lies. He has many, many disguises. And he fights against God's sovereign will. But even he can't stop it. We think, oh, we can stop it sometimes by how bad we are and how bad decision we made. Even the devil can't stop God's sovereign will. Even though he fights against it, he can't. And you know what that tells me? If the devil can't stop it, that tells me that the devil can mess with your plans, but he can't stop God's purpose in your life. Okay? It's a sovereign will of a good and a loving God, and he's an all-powerful God. Amen? And so we're going to start with the sovereign will of God. And then there's what we call the moral will of God, or you could call it the revealed will of God, if you will, because it's revealed through God's word, through his timeless truths. And it's in his word that it tells us how you and I should live. All right. And so now, contrary to popular belief, God's moral will, it doesn't change when the culture changes. Just because culture changes doesn't mean God's moral will changes with it. You see, it doesn't bend with public opinion. God's moral will, it's not like this menu where we can come in and we can pick and choose. Oh, I like this part, but I don't like that part. That one there rubs me wrong. And this part, it's okay, I'll take some of that. It's not like that. And it's, you know, and I've also heard people say, you know, oh, well, that's so outdated, that way of thinking. That was good in the 90s, but we're in the 2025 now. Come on, Pastor, get up to date. Well, I want you to know that it still applies today. God's moral will is clear, it's consistent, and it's unchanging. And so if you're here this morning, you say, what's God's moral will for my life? I want to show you very clearly what his will is. Okay, are you ready for this? His word tells us, and you get ready to write this one down. It's going to blow you away. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It's really short. God's will for you is to be holy. God's will for you is to be holy. That's his moral will for you. And so the Greek word for holy is the word hagios, all right? And it means to be set apart. It means to be different, to be sacred or dedicated to God. And so God's will for you is for you to not look like this sinful world. God's moral will for you is for you to not act like this sinful world. But it's to be set apart and to become like Jesus. And so let me say this as lovingly as I can, okay? Because I love you, and I want you to know that this morning I want to do two things. First, I want to comfort you, and I also want to convict you. Because sometimes we need a little bit of convicting, don't we? We need the Lord to kind of step on our spiritual toes and wake us up a little bit to some of the things that we're doing, because it's so easy to get complacent in the world that we live in. And so let me say this to you, all right? If God's will for you is to be holy, but you behave like the sinful world, or you talk like the sinful world, or you spend your money like the people that spend their money living for themselves in this world, or you're entertained by the same sinful stuff as the world. If you have those same values of the people who don't walk with Jesus, okay? If you have their values, it's pretty plain and simple, then you're not following Jesus. Meaning that you're not in God's will. And I brought out my VeggieTale Bible this morning because I didn't have my good one back there because I've been reading it, getting into it. But I had this one back there. And I think that the problem is for so many of us, though, is that we want God's direction for our future, but we ignore his direction for the today. You see, how we should live today morally is right here in this book. And you're like, God, give me your will. You know, for who should I marry? You know? But then you don't want to live for how you should date today. Does that make sense? You say, God, show me my husband. But you're not saying, God, show me how I should date. I told you that this might be convicting this morning. But the truth is what sets us free, right? And this is the truth. You see, we want God's blessings in our life, but then we don't want to steward well what God's given us. And we don't want to be generous. And when we have something, we don't want to give it away. And so we could say it this way. We could say, we want the fruit without the faithfulness. Or we want the blessings without the obedience. You see, the bottom line is that you cannot walk in God's will if you're not obeying his word. If you're not obeying what he's saying in his word, you can't walk in obedience. And so it's his moral will that's revealed through his word. You know, and you say, how we're supposed to live is right here. It's written in there. And so if you want to know God's will for your life, let's start by doing what we know he already said to do, right? Like, let's love other people the way Jesus loved us. Or let's give generously even when we know that those people might take us for granted or they don't even appreciate it. Or let's live wholeheartedly for Jesus even though people make fun of us and we're not going to fit in. Because I want to tell you right now, I'm not living for the approval of man. I'm living for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. And so it's important for us to live by God's moral will for our life. And so what we have now so far is we have God's sovereign will, which is his divine master plan. It can't be changed. We've talked about God's moral will, which is his living word that tells us how we're supposed to live. And the third thing that I want to talk about is God's permissive will. All right? And this is the freedom that God gives us to make choices, even if they're not perfect. Even if they're not a perfect choice, he gives us the freedom to make that. And it's important for us to understand something, though. God is sovereign, meaning that he's directing the course of everything, but he's not controlling. All right? So, in other words, let's say it this way. He's not forcing you and me to love him or to obey him. You see, if he forced us to do that, then it really wouldn't be love or obedience, would it? It wouldn't. And so because God wants to be loved and he wants to love you, he gives you and I free will. And that means that we have the freedom to choose. We have the freedom to choose, to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. But it also means that I have the choice and the freedom to say, you know what? Just forget you, God. Just forget you. I want to do my own thing. I want to do what makes me feel good. You see, you have the freedom to live according to the truth that sets you free, or you also have the freedom to say, no, I want to live by my own selfish desires and do what makes me feel good. You see, God gives us the permission to choose. I want to give you a couple of examples about that. In Scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, this is Paul talking, he says, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. So in other words, God gives you the freedom to choose, right? And so you might say, I'm going to choose. I'm just going to stay at home and watch TV and play video games all day instead of going to work. I'm going to do that all every day. I'm not ever working again. And you know what God would say? He said, you can do that. It's probably not going to be smart, but you can do that, you know, because God gives us the freedom to choose. And the problem is that we don't always choose wisely, do we? We don't always choose the best thing. And that's what I believe is many of the reasons why there is just so much pain in the world today. But I also want to share some good news with you that none of it is outside of God's ability to redeem it. He can redeem it. And I want us to see some examples in Scripture in the Old Testament and in the book of Genesis chapter 37. You know the story of Joseph, or if you don't, please go and read chapter 37 and learn about Joseph. But we know that his brothers, they were jealous of him, and so they sold him into slavery. And so you read that and you think, well, is that what God wanted? I don't think so. But God allowed it, didn't he? And then later we see that he was falsely accused and put in prison. Was that what God wanted? Did God want that? Probably not, but God allowed it. And then we see in prison that Joseph started interpreting dreams and gaining recognition. And long story short, he becomes the second in command of all of Egypt. And we see this, and we see that God did all, he didn't want all that other stuff. It didn't seem like he did, but he allowed it. And God used it to bring Joseph to a certain place at a certain time for such a time as this. And then we see that later on when his brothers, they show up because they need food and they come to Joseph. They don't know it's him, but they come and they want some food. And so they see Joseph and they get terrified and they get scared because they know he's going to be mad. And Joseph looks at him, he says, oh, wait, you don't understand. All that stuff you did to me that you meant for evil, God actually turned and used it for good. You see, and that brings comfort to me sometimes whenever I myself's in the middle of a hard time. Because sometimes, just like you, I'm thinking, why, God? I didn't want this. I didn't ask for this. I wouldn't choose this. I don't even like it. And God, I'm not happy with you right now. There's been times I've said that. I'm just being honest with you. And most of the time, I don't know what God would say back to me, but I feel like sometimes he says, you know, hey, I didn't choose that for you either, but I allowed it, and I can still use it to bring something good in this world and in your life. Amen? Yeah. And so there's God's sovereign will, there's God's moral will, and then there's his permissive will, and then here's the one that everybody wants and gets excited about, and that's God's personal will, all right? And this is God's unique and specific calling just for you, just for you. And what's amazing is that God has a plan for every single one of us. And that, you may be sitting there right now and you're thinking, well, he might have a plan for all these other people, but not me. I've been too bad. Not me. He doesn't even know my name. Let me tell you, God knows your name and he knows you were here today. Your steps were ordered and I believe they were here. You're here today by divine appointment for God to speak into your heart and your life today so that you can leave this place knowing that God has a will and a purpose for your life. Amen? Because see, I want you to understand that when you've been saved by Jesus, you were saved and you've been forgiven. And you weren't just saved from something, but you were saved for something. Okay? Let me say it again like this. You weren't just saved from your sins, but you were saved for a purpose. To live your life in a way that serves other people and that honors God. And Scripture tells us here in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do God's works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, the word handiwork here in the Greek, it's poema, and it means a poetic statement or a masterpiece. You see, you, everybody say me. I'm a handiwork of God. You're the handiwork of God. You're a masterpiece. You were the brilliant creation of God the Father. He created you for such a time as this, for a plan and a purpose. You're not saved by your good works, but you're saved for good works by which God prepared in advance for you to do. And so We literally, you're saved by Jesus. On that same day, you literally might have a mission from him because he has a good work and a plan for you to do. It may be to just pray for the person next to you, or it might be for you to take them out to lunch and give them a word of encouragement or something. But it's like God will literally put you and I to work, and he's going to put people in our path. He's going to put things in our lives so that we can be a blessing to them. And so before you and I were ever even born, he created you and I with the right gifts and the right talents. And he put you in this moment in history, in this specific spot today, for you to love on people that are around you. And he did this for a very real purpose. And here's the good news. If God prepared good works for you to do, then you're perfectly designed to do them. Perfectly designed to do them by God himself. God himself designed you for this work so that you can meet the needs of those around you, so that you can be a blessing to other people. And so let me show you what God says that he'll do for you, all right? It says in Psalms 32:8, I want you to know what God's will is. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. I want to read that again, okay, because this really needs to sink into us today. This is God. He's speaking to you right now, and he's saying, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the ways that you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. You know what this tells me? It tells me that whenever you get to know God's heart, you get to know God's will. And so my desire is to know God's heart to the fullest, so I know God's will to the fullest for my life. You see, Jesus, he's the good shepherd, right? And the Bible says that the sheep know his voice. So here he's saying, hey, I'll teach you. I'll instruct you because we know his voice. We can hear this. And so what's the role of a good shepherd? The role of a good shepherd is to guide the flock. And he says that he will guide you and he'll instruct you right there. And so what is your role? What's my role in this? It's to follow. Just simply follow. And the good news is that we'll know his voice. We'll know his voice. And when it says in there that it says that he will counsel you, right? Well, who is the Holy Spirit? He's the counselor, right? And so he's with you and he comforts you and he guides you. And his loving eyes are up on us. Amen? That's how good of a God we serve this morning. And so I know that I've covered a lot of ground on this, and I'm wanting to kind of narrow it down and bring it into focus for us today. And so what I've discovered over the last 23 years of ministry is that as Christians, we tend to overcomplicate God's will, and we underestimate God's goodness. We overcomplicate his will and we underestimate his goodness. Now, I didn't understand this when I first gave my heart to Christ. I'll be honest. It took me walking with him for a long time, probably more than others because I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I finally got there, you know. But the more I got to know his heart, the better I was able to understand his will. And whenever I look back upon my own life, I see that his divine plan and his hand was on all things in my life, even in the things that I wanted and even in the things that I didn't want. His plan was there. And it's always has an unusual way when I look at it. There's an unusual way of him directing me to this very moment today. His personal will for me to do his prepared work that he had planned for me in advance so that I could be here to share God's word with you, to help build your faith, to help you know that you were made to overcome temptation and to live a life of victory today for the glory of God, not for yourself, but for his glory. Amen? And that I want you to know today when you leave that God has given you divine gifts to make a difference in your world. And he's given you a divine purpose for you to follow. And so if you want to know his will for you, just get to know his heart. Get to know him. And so to make sure that we don't overcomplicate his will and underestimate his goodness, what we're going to do, how are we going to do this? This is how you can do it. We're going to trust God's sovereign will. We're going to obey God's moral will. We're going to accept his permissive will. And then we're going to walk in God's personal will for our lives. And if for a moment you're worried today, you're sitting here and you're thinking, man, I'm so afraid I'm going to miss God's will. Remember what he's telling you today. Remember through his word. He says, I will instruct you. He's saying, I will teach you. I will counsel you. And my loving eye is going to be upon you. That's what he's telling you this morning. Because God's not playing games with your future. He's not holding back and hiding things in his will from you. You see, I think that it's so important for us today that we need to understand that his purpose is so much bigger than our past. His purpose is so much bigger than your past. And his plan is so much bigger than our mistakes. And as you get to know him through his word and through prayer and through community and through fellowship, as you get to know him, as you get to know his heart, well, then you get to walking in his will. And that's my prayer for us in spiritual maturity today, is that we walk in God's will and we receive everything that he has for us today. If you will you close your eyes and bow your head with me this morning? And I just want us to start praying. I want you to pray this morning, and I'm going to pray as well. I'm going to pray this morning that God's going to reveal a little bit more of himself to our hearts, so that we know him more, that we see his heart, we know his heart. And as you pray, I want you to let God's word just, let it just build your faith today. I pray that his word just builds your faith to an exceeding abundance this morning. And as we're sitting here in God's presence today, my prayer is that he'll just draw us close and that he'll speak into our hearts and our lives today. Because this morning we need to hear from him. Not from me, not from any other person, but God, this morning, we need to hear your voice. We need to hear you. We need to know you to this morning more than we've ever known you before, God. I pray you'd reveal your heart to us today. You see, I believe that he's speaking to hearts this morning, and some of you, you may be sitting there and you may be recognizing that you're not actually walking in God's moral will for your life. You're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, and you know it's contrary to his word. And if we're living and doing things contrary to God's word, well, then we're not walking in his will. But the good news is that if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just some of it, but all of it. There's not a sin he can't cover. There's not a sin he can't break in your life. I wonder how many of us this morning would just say, you know what? I genuinely want to walk in the will of God. If that's you this morning, I pray you just raise your hand up. Just lift your hand up. Have the courage this morning to say, God, I genuinely want to walk in your will. You know, that should be every person in this room. We should all want to walk in his will. God, I thank you this morning for what you're doing in hearts and lives. I thank you, Lord, that you are the good shepherd and that we, as your sheep, we can know your voice. But God, the only way we know your voice is by getting into your word and drawing close to you and knowing your heart. And Father, Lord, I pray this morning that you would speak into our hearts and lives. And Father, even though we think that the things in our past have disqualified us, I pray this morning that there's not a person that doesn't understand your redeeming qualities and that there's nothing they could have done that you can't redeem. There's not a sin that you can't forgive. And so, Father, this morning, I pray that each and every one of us this morning, that we would know your voice, that we would know that we have a purpose and a calling on our lives, and that you have this divine will, a personal will for each and every one of us. And that's to be holy and set apart. Father, not so that we can be holier than thou, but God, that we can be different from this world. Father, I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to look like the world. I want to look like you. I want to be a reflection of you. And the only way I can be a reflection of you is if I know you and as if I'm close to you. And so God, this morning, I pray that you draw each and every one of us closer to you. Father, help us to lean on you and not our own understanding. Father, and help us to acknowledge you in all of our ways so that you, Father, can direct our steps. Father, I pray this morning, if there's someone here this morning and they say, I don't even know this Jesus that you're talking about. I've never asked him into my life, and I need him, though. After hearing his word this morning, it's stirred my heart. It's caused me to see that I'm lost without him. And I don't want to be lost this morning. If there's anyone here this morning that would say, I don't want to be lost anymore. I need Jesus in my heart. Would you just raise your hand right now so I can pray with you? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, would you stand with me right now? I believe we're in the middle of a holy moment right now. There's souls that are about to come home. They're about to meet Jesus, their Savior, the one that died for them, the one that paid a price for their sin, so that they no longer have to live in that sin and in that shame, but that it's the blood of Jesus that washes those away so that we can be whole and we can be made new in Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you so much. I love you, Jesus. Church, would you pray with me aloud so that no one prays alone? Just repeat this prayer. If you're here this morning and you're giving your life to Jesus, I pray that you'll repeat this prayer and believe it in your heart and receive it. Don't let it just be a come in and oh, I said a little prayer and now I can go back out in the world and do whatever I want to do. No, I want you to say this prayer today, and I want you to mean it with all your heart and believe that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God and that he is here to take away your sins. And I also want you to, this morning, I want you to know that you can leave this place in victory, that your past is gone because Jesus has made you new. And I want you to get into his word and learn his heart, and learn his moral values and his moral will for you, his sovereign will for you, his permissive will, his personal will for you. That's my prayer for you today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning as a sinner needing grace. Forgive my sins. Come into my life and make me new. Fill me with your Spirit to lead me and to guide me in every will that you have for me. I give you my life. I thank you for yours. In Jesus' name, amen.